chapter 5, starting from verse 1.
Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach.
Jeremiah is reminding God, God never forgets anything. God is not a forgetful God. Now he's saying, Lord, you remember and see what our condition is right now. God is watching over us all the time. There is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. He says in book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, everything naked and open to his eyes. There is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. When we have problem, we say, oh God, where are you? God is everywhere and there is no place you can hide without God. But he says, Lord, you remember us. Read the Psalm 89 verse 50. This is, I think, all this lamentation, the quoting is given from book of Psalms, book of Job, book of Jeremiah, a book of Isaiah and things like that. Okay.
Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants. How do I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people?
Now, just like David is complaining to God, how these all enemies are giving him hard time, and so he wants God to remember him in his trouble. And so the word of God is saying, when you ask God something and say, Lord, you remember what you said. You can give the Bible scriptures, what God says, even though God knows, he will hasten your prayer. Let's read the verse 2.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless, our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money, or wood is sold unto us.
Now here he's explaining to God, God knows everything, and God said earlier what he was going to do. Now he's saying, our land is taken by strangers, and the people are living in our house, they are foreigners. But now they became our masters, they took our houses, they took our land, they took everything what we have, and now we are orphans. Some of them lost mother and father. Some of them just say fatherless. And some of them says mother became widows. So the fatherless, motherless, and widows. And this is our condition. Not only that, he says, now we drink water, we have to pay for it. And when we buy the wood, we have to pay for the wood. You remember before that, they had the servants bringing the water and bringing the wood for the tabernacle. Now, they said, our own wood, we pay for it. Our own water, we pay for it. Now, the condition is so bad. Somebody was saying to me, oh, we pay for the water and we pay for our firewood today. But this is not today's thing. When you have your own land, when you have your own well, and when you have your own water, and somebody takes it from you, and now you have to pay for the water and pay for the wood, then you feel that you are helpless, that somebody is taking over, and you cannot even drink your own water or cut your own firewood and use it. So this is the condition, verse 5.
Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest.
Now he says, we are having the heavy yoke in our neck and we do not have rest. It seems like they are thinking now their forefathers were in Egypt and how much trouble they had. They had no rest. They had the taskmaster were beating them and telling them do more and more work and no rest. Some of the companies, when you do hard work, they give you 10 minutes rest every 2 hours. Some places, they give you maybe every 4 hours, 10 to 20 minutes rest. And some places, there is no rest. They keep on telling you to do more work. So what happens? The people who are tired and weary, they do less work. But the people do not understand when you tell them, now see the drivers, they are driving maybe sometime 15 to 20 hours, and they have no rest and they sleep. And so the people are thinking, oh, you, instead of keeping two drivers, let one driver do the two people's job, but they are not getting good result. So here, people are giving them so much hard time. Otherwise, if somebody needs the good protection, they will give people rest. Nowadays, people understand, you know, the bosses and the company owners, they have gym for them, they have ladies can keep their children there, daycare center, they have even medicine for them, they can give their rest, they can give a day off. When you have a problem, you can have vacation. That's why people work more, especially Christian companies. So their workers are not complaining. So here we see these people are persecuted, no rest, and doing hard work. Verse 6.
We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread.
Now, they are saying what happened in Hosea we read. Here we read in Book of Hosea, please read. Book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 13.
When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound.
Now here it says, when they have a trouble, sickness or disease, our God is a healer. The word of God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. They knew. But they are going after Assyrians and say, please give us some medicine or heal us. But they could not heal them. So here it says this. These people, Israeli people, were running to the foreign land. Hosea chapter 12, verse 1.
Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt.
See, they were making covenant. They were giving good stuff, the oil, and Israeli people, whatever, that have prosperity, thinking Egypt and Syria will help. So now they are saying, we gave them hands, we gave them help, we gave them everything, but now those people are not satisfied, and we are not even able to take our bread, our food. They have no mercy, took all our help, took all our oil, took all energy and the money from us, and now we cannot even have enough bread. Go back to the Lamentation chapter 5, verse 7.
Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities.
Now here is saying, our fathers sinned, and because of that, we have this problem, the results of our father's sin. It's very easy to blame somebody, but it's not easy to confess your own sin. We always tell somebody did something. Adam will say, you did something. And somebody will say, somebody did something because I'm not guilty. Here though he says, they are blaming their forefathers. But the word of God says this time will come, that Proverbs will be wrong. Go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 1 to 4.
The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Don't tell me, he says, that my father ate the sour grape and my teeth are hurting, or I have the result of my father's eating grapes. Means he committed sin, and that's why I'm suffering. God says, you know, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We have the responsibility. We should confess our sins, and God will forgive us. Sometimes, whatever the forefather did, you may have the results, but you have to have responsibility to confess your sins and put it right. And so here it says, my forefathers did something wrong and committed sin, that's why we are suffering. That's what not the reason. They were suffering because of their sin. Go back to the Lamentation chapter 5, verse 8.
Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand.
Now here is saying the servants, the people who are slaves, now they are our master, and they are ruling over us, and nobody's listening. Verse 9.
We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness.
Now he says we don't get food. They are not giving food, so we go to jungles. We go to jungles, we go to farm to get something, but their people are waiting to destroy us. Just like we have the security fence, and you should not be going out. And so the people are taking their life and coming to our country to survive. The same way he said there was food in somewhere here and there, but those people, the military officers, were not allowing us to get out. We took our life on our hand to go and get something from the wilderness or from the surrounding areas, but the people were killing us. Verse 10.
Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah.
Now he's saying our skin like a black like oven because of famine. He says when you have good food and good nourishment, you look rosy cheek and beautiful face and everything. But when you don't have food, and when you get old or no food, your skin sticks to your bones, and your color gets darker. Not only that, when you are happy and joyful and you commit sin or something wrong happens, your face color changes. The same way when you commit sin or when you do not have food, you can see from your faces. People can see this person is not nourished. He is not getting nourishment. Something wrong. So he says our bodies, our skin became black just like a black oven. They used to, in those days, their oven was wood, feeding the wood in the oven, so the oven becomes black because of smoke. Today's ovens are not that kind of black ovens. Maybe they have outside black color. But he is talking about inside color became our color. Verse 12.
Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored.
Now he says princes means supposed to be king in future. They are hanging them, not by their neck, hanging them by their hands. So they might be, there is a bone here, and when you make a hole here, you can hang, and that person will not fall. But if you hang in here, they're showing Jesus Christ's pierced, not in palm of his hand. If you do it in the palm of your hand, the nail is going to come out, but they do it in between bones. So they said, my princes, they're hanged by their hands. That means they are going to suffer. If they were killed by sword or hanged by neck, they will be dying soon. But they are hanged by their hands and they are suffering. And the elderly people, they have no respect. And so they might be beating them or whatever, and they are not openly can come to the gates. They are very, very afraid of other people. Verse 13.
They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood.
Now they said the young men. Now the princes were hanged. The older people, they have no respect. And now he's talking about the young men. Young man is like a macho man, strong and healthy, maybe in their 20s or 25 or 30 years old. Very strong and very healthy people. They're saying, you should be grinding mills. Work in our, grinding mills. Instead of bulls, they are using this man. In those days, you have to put something on your neck, and you go round and round and round, and then they can get the flour. So they said they are doing this to our young man, and the children. Children are carrying the heavy wood, and they're giving so much heavy wood, so that the, the children cannot even stand. They are like a struggling to walk, and sometimes they are falling under the wood. Just like Jesus Christ was carrying the cross and he fell, and the cross was top of him. So here is saying our young people are grinding in the flour mill, and little children, maybe these teenagers he is talking about, they are falling under the wood. That means everyone, from the children, adults, old people, everyone is suffering and they are crying to God. Verse 14.
The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music.
Now he says again, this elderly people, they were dignified, they were take around, go to the gate, give the advice to people, but now they are ceased. They cannot go there because they're beating them up. There is no respect for the elderly people. And the young people supposed to sing songs and music, but now they are not singing. Why? If they find out some young man is still somewhere, they will call them and say, do this grinding business or get the wood on your head. You remember when we had the war and the people supposed to be drafted for the war? So what the people start doing? Not signing up or hide somewhere or go somewhere. So that's what the reason they are saying, our young men are not singing anymore. If they're singing, they will be brought to the this work, and so they are really, really hiding or depressed, cannot sing. Verse 15.
The joy of our heart has ceased, our dance is turned into mourning.
Now they're saying, joy of our heart is ceased. People only sing or dance when they are happy. I never see anybody start dancing when they are depressed. People can do fake dance or fake faces. Only people will be singing and dancing in the movies or some other places. That's called fake dancing. But here these people are now cannot sing, cannot dance, or they are depressed. And each and everyone, from the child to the elder, they're all depressed. Verse 16.
The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned.
Now here is a little bit difficult to understand. He says, crown is fallen from our head, and woe to us that we have sinned. Now let's read in Book of Psalm 89, verse 39. Then you'll get the idea.
Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground.
Now he says, God, when he's angry, he can take your crown away. Just like King Saul. When King Saul did not listen to God, he took his crown away and gave it to David. So he's saying, now these people were kings, Israeli kings or Judah's kings, but now their crown is taken away and their kingdom is given to the Egyptians, Assyrians, and Babylonians. So now these people are suffering because they're saying, our crown is gone, and this happened because of our sin. We are doing something wrong, that's why we are suffering. At least in this chapter, now they are trying to come, or Jeremiah, or the Israeli people, try to learn and understand that God is not doing something for fun. God is not punishing his people for fun. Something they did, and because of that, they have punishment. And so they are thinking now, our crowns are cast down, crowns are falling. That means ever we be kings in our Israeli people, we will have a kingdom back. Can God give us crown back and make some king for us? That's what they are thinking, and that's what they are praying. Verse 17.
For this our heart is faint, for these things our eyes are dim.
He says our hearts are faint, And because of these things, our eyes are dim. Heart can fail with the fear, anxiety, or not eating good food. This is what happened. Young people are suffering. Sometimes they want to reduce the weight, or they want to look better, and they don't eat, so their body gets fragile. In this summertime, if you don't drink water, you are going to faint. And so here he's saying, when your heart is not working properly, your body is not functioning properly, you don't have the nutrition in your body, so your eyes will get dim. Your eyes will have problem, you will not able to see. In the foreign country, when the children cannot hear properly or they cannot see properly, and they say they are not having enough nutrition. When they give them good food, and they start hearing, they start seeing better. So here is saying our heart is failing, and because of that, our eyes are dim. And he's giving another example also, verse 18.
Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it.
Now, another reason they are saying our eyes are dim and we are crying, because our temple is destroyed. Not only temple is destroyed, but now there is nobody's walking there but the animals. Fox and vicious animals, they are walking around, and the grass is growing. And you remember we read in Hosea, there will be thorns and thistles will be there, and nobody will be able to worship. And that's the condition, he says, happening in our temple area. And when they see that, this is very depressing, and they cry all the time. That's why their eyes are dim. Let's read the Isaiah chapter 27, verse 10.
Yet the defenced city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof.
See, here is saying your house, your country will be desolate. Not only that, the temple mount, where the temple is, there will be grass and the animal will be grazing. The God already told these things to these people, but they never paid attention, and now they are complaining because in Zion means where the temple was, and that is desolate, and foxes are walking, and that's why we are more depressed. We cannot go there to worship. There is no temple, and we are crying and weeping, and because of that, our eyes are so dim. Chapter 5, verse 19.
Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation.
Now here they're saying, look at our condition. Our children, our young men, our princes, our fathers, our mothers, we are all having problems. We are dying, we are blinding, we have no strength, our color changed and everything, we became darker. But you are the same. You are not changing. Our God doesn't get old. He doesn't get sick. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get blinded. He doesn't have any problem. And not only that, he says, your throne for generation to generation means there is no one can defeat you. You remember the Lucifer wanted to get God's throne? He is thrown out, and now he is waiting for the lake of fire, and he will be there for eternity. There is no man or no one can take the God's throne. So here is saying, oh Lord, you are same forever and ever. We are the one changing. We getting old. In a God's calendar, God is not worried about timing. He's not going to say, oh, getting late, because he has nothing to worry about. We are worried because we are dying. Our time is limited. And so we want to do everything on time, and we cannot do because we think someday we'll die and we will not be able to finish our job. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God is forever. Spirit never dies. Jesus Christ died as a man when he came and died for the mankind. But when he came out of the grave, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. What did he say? I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. No one can kill Jesus Christ again. And book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. What he says? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How can we say is the same? We say was the same. But Jesus never was. He is all the time. He says, I am that I am. Our God never was. He is always there. That's what he said. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God is unchangeable God. Jesus Christ is not going to get old or not going to get sick, even though he came as a human being. There is no record that he went to hospital. There is no record he was sick, because the word of God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the sickness and disease comes because of sin. If there is no sin in your life, no sickness, no disease can come, because we can live for God. Now here is saying, Lord, your throne is forever and you are remaining the same. Let's go to the book of Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7.
Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter.
Now who is saying? Let's read a little bit further.
Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Now here God is talking about his son. O God, your throne is forever. Because some Jehovah's Witnesses are thinking Jesus Christ is a God. He is not the God. But the word of God is saying here, God says to his son, O God, O Lord, your throne is forever. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8.
But unto the son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Now here he says, God says to his son, so it's clear. God says to his son, O God, your throne is forever. So your kingdom will be forever. Our God the Father lives in heaven, and he takes care of all the heavenly kingdom. But then Jesus Christ came into this earth, and then he says, Jesus Christ will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. So Jesus Christ will be the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we will be the king and priest. We will be sitting beside him. And Jesus says, I sit beside my Father. He says he sits the right hand of the Father, and we sit right hand of his. So Jesus Christ's kingdom is forever. And here the word of God says, God himself says to Son, O God, your throne forever. So that means these people are trying to say, Lord, your throne is forever, and your kingdom is for generation to generation, but we lost our kingdom. We lost our crown. We lost everything what you have given to us. And now they're coming to their senses that they are in fault. They need God. And they need God's grace. Because up to now, they were saying, my forefathers committed sin. That's why we are suffering. Not because of forefathers, because of your sin also. Okay, let's go back to the Lamentation chapter 5.
Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time?
Now he says, why are you forgetting us or forsaking us for a long time? That means this is not a one day. Do you know how many years passed? This is almost 70 years of slavery. 70 years they were in slavery. And the prophet Isaiah, prophet Jeremiah, and all these prophets, Hosea and Joel, and all these prophets were telling them. Jeremiah spoke to them almost 40 years. What they thinking? Nothing happened. 40 years they are just saying it. And some of the false prophets start telling, don't listen to this Jeremiah. Don't listen to Isaiah. Listen to us. Nothing is going to happen. See how many days passed? Nothing happened, their prophecy. Same thing today people are saying. Oh, Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. 2,000 years passed. Nothing is happening. So let's do whatever we want to do. The word of God says, in God's calendar, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like a one day. God is not sitting there and scratching his head. Oh, what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do? Oh, the time is going. He is not worried about timing. But we are the ones suffering. After the 70 years, God brought them back. But they are start saying, Lord, how long? Give us a time. God did not say, okay, such and such a day, you will be free. Our Jesus didn't say, such and such a day, I'll come. He said, you will not be even thinking that day. That's the day Jesus will be coming. And there are so many prophets, they calculate the time, they calculate the hours, and they put the timing, and always their timing fails. God is not going to come according to your timing. Now the Israeli people, they have their calendar. According to the Israeli calendar, Jesus Christ will come according to the calendar. But for the church, we don't have a calendar. So the church, Jesus Christ comes today, or he can come 10,000 years from now. We don't know. But the situation is saying us, Jesus Christ is coming very soon, because we have given the signs of his coming. So he can come, but we don't know the time. But after Jesus comes, takes his bride to heaven, from that day, the church goes to heaven, from that day to Jesus Christ and church comes back, 7 years' time is given. So it's very easy for Israeli people to know. The day the church gone, just write it down in the calendar and count 7 years. Exactly after the 7 years, Jesus Christ will come. So that means they know what time Jesus Christ will come. And that's why people are confused. They are saying the Israeli people know when he's coming, but we don't know, because we don't know. Jesus Christ did not give the date to the church. So that's the reason. Okay, let's go back to the Lamentation chapter 5, verse 21.
Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us.
Now, this is my opinion. Jeremiah is a songwriter. He's a book writer. And he's wrote a poem. But if I'm writing this same poem, I would make a little bit changes. Now, just read the verse 21 one more time.
Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old.
Now, this is just like a prayer. Asking God what to do. Philip already preached. Here he's saying, Lord, turn this condition, this situation, and you change us, renew us like the olden days, like we came from Egypt. Do that. It's like a prayer. And then this prayer should be the 22nd word. And read the verse 22nd.
But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us.
Now here, this is a complaint. Here is he complaining. Once you pray, then don't complain. When you ask God to bless you, and then you say, why are you not blessing us? That prayer doesn't mean anything then. You first pray, give all your grumbling, give all your problem to God, and then pray like, Lord, renew us. So if I was writing, I would be putting 21st verse to 22nd, and 22nd verse be 21. But I'm not the writer. The point I'm making, when you have problem, when you give your problem to God, you pray. And when you pray, then don't complain again. For example, when I pray for somebody, somebody's giving their problem, I listen, and then I pray for them. Once I pray for them, then I don't tell them that God is not going to heal you. Once I said, I prayed, and already God heard my prayer, and it's done. After that, done, no more complaint. That's what the Jeremiah is doing here. He asks God, give us grace, renew us like olden days, like we came from Egypt. You defeated our enemies, and we had a wonderful time. You gave us the tabernacle. We were praying and worshiping. We had a wonderful time. All other enemies were afraid of us, and those are the old days we want back. So give us our old days. Renew our life and make us new again like olden days. That's what his prayer. And then he says, but thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou hast very wroth us against us. Means, again he's saying, but you rejected us. You are very angry. We don't know what to do and things like that. And so I believe when he prayed, book of Mark chapter 11, and if you read from verse 23 or so, 22 or so, he says, when you ask, you believe it, and you receive it, and you will have it. You cannot doubt again. Okay, let's go to the book of Psalm, chapter 13, and read verses 1 to 6. See how David prays.
How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me.
See how he's ending his song? He's saying, I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. That's the prayer. When you're ending with a happiness, with a joy, all my troubles are going to go because I brought it to the Lord. When you bring your prayer to God, rest on him. Thank God you heard my prayer. You heard my supplication. Now I don't have to worry. I put it in the hand of God and just leave it there. After you prayed, then don't call negative things. Because once I pray, I believe that God is able to do it. Don't even worry and don't even think that you are not healed. You are already healed by the power of God. I'm not telling you not to take medicine. You didn't want to take the medicine. I agree with you, and now I'm praying for you. So you are healed. So, point I'm making, after I said something, and if somebody starts telling that person negative, that person will be in trouble. So what I'm trying to say, Jeremiah prayed the prayer and then talking negative. So we should not be negative at all. Once you pray, you believe, just like a David, he said, you put a song in my heart. I know you're going to defeat my enemy. I know you're going to bring me out of this. Now I'm rejoicing, I'm singing. When you prayed and when you say, thank you, Lord, the answer is here. Dance around, praise God and thank God and say, Lord, you have heard my prayer and you have answered my prayer. And just start thanking God. Don't be negative after you prayed or give it to the Lord. This is like, you know, you give your burden to the Lord and put it there. And while taking, can I take it back and put it in back and walk around? So that's not the way to take your burden. He says, cast your burden upon me, I'll sustain you. So you cast your burden just like somebody giving you a ride. And you took a ride, but to take, you had a 20-30 pound bag you putting on your head. And somebody says, why are you holding that? Oh, you gave me a ride, but you did not say, keep your luggage also. So I'm carrying my luggage. Somebody says, ma'am, your luggage and your weight, its car is pulling. You are foolish enough to put it on your head. Once somebody gives you a ride, keep the weight down. So that's the way to do it. But what people are doing it, praying to God, asking God, and go back with the same depression, same problem, same load they're carrying. Once you pray and give it to the Lord, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for answering my prayer. Before you can even get the answer, you start praising God. You remember I told you, the man was prayed for and he's still shaking and shake. And he said, I'm healed, people, and people are laughing. And he said, I'm healed, and people are laughing. All of a sudden, stop. No shaking, nothing, was completely healed. So that's the way it is. Once somebody prayed for you, you believe, and you say, I receive it, and it's done. After prayer, don't worry. You just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your sins are forgiven, forgotten. Why you worry for tomorrow? People go and get married in a court, and there is a form in case you want to divorce. Oh, I'll take that paper too. So what? You get married and the same time divorce paper you're carrying with me in case the marriage doesn't work. Doesn't work that way. You have to faith. You have to have faith in God. You don't worry about negative things. If you start thinking negative, your marriage, you just think that you took that paper, a husband or wife, whoever took it, and that person is hiding it. That person said, this lady doesn't want to be with me, or this man doesn't want to be with me. Maybe they will divorce tomorrow. Why? Because you planning to have disaster. And whatever you plan, that's what you're going to get. So we have to believe God is a miracle working God. He has no problem. Only we have a problem. When we give our problem to Him, I tell people, when you have a problem, give it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is not my problem anymore. It's your problem. And walk in peace. Don't take your problem back to you. That's what I learned. And that's what I'm teaching. What God needs? He needs your heart. He needs your commitment. He needs your way to follow Him. And tell about Jesus Christ. That's what it is. I am preparing our church members to not to just say every Sunday, pray for me, pray for me. Say, if God heals me, I'm going to pray for somebody else. I did a 52 program about healing for the television. And what I said in every program, why I'm doing this program? I'm doing this program to encourage you to get healed. And when you get healed, then you start praying for others. And if everybody start doing that, then everybody will know that Jesus Christ is a healer. So we have to have our own testimony to tell others. Before you pray for somebody, tell them how God saved you, how God healed you, and that same God is going to heal you. And that's the way it works. And so when you're asking God, ask by faith, and when your answer is received, you tell somebody else. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Again. Lord Jesus, give us grace to look unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who is the one who has the kingdom, and his kingdom there will be no end. And you have given us chance to be in your kingdom, sitting with your right hand and ruling the whole world. Give us grace to be holy and to be worthy to be kings and priests. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.